This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
Segment of our show, Sarah Morris-Robert will be telling us a little bit about BC Adaptive Snow Sports. So what can you tell me about BC Adaptive Snow Sports?
So BC Adaptive Snow Sports is an indoor sport organization to provide opportunities to individuals with physical and indoor and cognitive disabilities to get out skiing or snowboarding across British Columbia. Our vision is to provide everyone with the opportunity to experience snow sports.
So, what are some of the common adaptations you make for people with disabilities?
There's a lot of equipment available. Our instructors are very well trained as well, so we can get pretty much everybody out on the help of wishes too. We have, for those who are wheelchair users, we have
skis, bike ski using two skis, so it's for a higher level of disability. And we, one or two of the clubs now have a sip and puff bike ski available. And so then we also use instructions to help with those who are neurodiverse, but are obviously standing up skiers on the whole. And we have outriggers, short ones for the sit skis, full length, for stand-up skiers that may need them, or those sort of three-tracking, which means they have, you know, maybe an amputation, or they're, for some reason, on one ski. Then they have two full-length outriggers, which are like crutches with little ski tips on. Hence, it's called three-track. They leave three tracks in the snow. And then we also have snowboarding available with different adaptions of different training methods, and certain specialized equipment that offer a seat, a little perch seat on top of the snowboard as well. Very good for those with less neglect or other sort of paraplegia type disabilities.
So what are some of the key benefits for someone with a disability to be able to get out and enjoy the snow and keep an active lifestyle?
Well, I think that's the key, the active lifestyle. Freedom, for one. Freedom of movement is huge. And the ability to participate in a sport with friends and family, which offers, there's few sports you can do that mean you can completely go with your family or friends, etc. So a lot of skiers with disabilities, if they're independent skiers, they ski the whole mountain. But for absolutely everybody, it's the health benefits, the social benefits, that being in the mountains and, slightly biased, we live in beautiful British Columbia. We have amazing mountains and scenery, and you get to access all of that.
So how do you reach out to folks with disabilities to let them know that your work exists?
Nowadays it's a lot easier because of social media, so there's a lot of coverage over various forms of social media. People just have to look up adaptive snow sports or adaptive skiing, adaptive snowboarding, and links to our organization and many organizations across the country will come up. We have 16 clubs that operate around the province, and they reach out in their communities. Other athletes reach out, So the word of mouth is huge, and also going to rehab centers such as GS Strong, informing the medical community so that when, let's say, somebody is going through rehabilitation, they're given information about what sports are available for them. So there's lots of avenues. I mean, there's often a lot of, take your radio program, for instance, that's spreading the word as well. So on a recreational level, that's how we reach out to people, and evidently it works because every club has a wait list. It'd be nice to not have a wait list, but there's only so many people we can accommodate each season, right? But the word is definitely out there. The other part of that is high performance. So high performance is very visual, such as the Paralympics, which is coming up, and people start to see Team Canada athletes, and that also raises the awareness, and people search out what activities are at their local ski hills. So, and then hopefully they take up, sled sports.
So in your time with the organization, is there any success moment or story you'd like to share?
Oh, there's so many. That is a hard question to answer. The organization has grown exponentially. The awareness is growing. There's a lot of heartfelt parents for all of our instructors. So we rely on a base of volunteers that work throughout the province. The same with other clubs around the country as well, not just in BC. So the instructors are primarily all volunteers, and they give up a lot of time to help people get out on snow and have positive experiences. And families then, we have, I personally have been involved in a family who, they didn't do any sporting activities. One got into skiing, and now all the children are involved in skiing, and they then got into other sports, like wheelchair tennis. So it triggered that moment for them that there were sports and opportunities that they could do. Another big event for us was we joined forces and helped with Invictus, and which was their first hybrid games. So as an example, one of the athletes at the Invictus Games on Team Canada was Rob Pullen, and his husband decided that he would start skiing again last winter as Rob learned. And this winter he's returning as a volunteer instructor and going through our training. So that full circle is really what we like to see, that kind of commitment come, and the opportunity. The aim always is that we want to provide instruction through our grassroots clubs, and those that can become independent skiers, free to go off with friends or family.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thanks. This segment of our show, Linda Lasco will be sharing her work about prosthetics and orthosis. So what can you tell me about your orthotics work?
Do you want to know more about what I do or what the organization does?
A little of both.
Okay. So I'm a certified orthotist, and I practice in Mississauga, Ontario, where I provide different types of orthotic treatments for people with different types of abilities and limitations that might be due to congenital issues, injuries, disease, any sort of issue that would cause someone that would need a device to provide support, alignment, correction, or protection of a body part. As a certified orthotist, I'm a member and regulated by Orthotics Prosthetics Canada. And Orthotics Prosthetics Canada regulates certified orthotists, certified prosthetists, registered orthotic technicians and registered prosthetic technicians. They set the standards for education and credentialing in Canada and are accredited by the International Society for Prosthetics and Orthotics that accredits education globally on behalf of the World Health Organization.
So what are some of the key benefits for one who would use an orthotic to sort of regain aspects of their life?
Okay. So that's a big question because the range of people that we see is huge. We see people like children, babies that require cranial remolding orthoses, so helmets to help with head shaping, up to older adults that require orthoses to help position a body part so they can transfer from their chair to the toilet or chair to bed. And then we also look after people who are elite athletes that are just trying to shave time off of their run or be able to perform a little better, and to people who want to participate in day-to-day activities with less pain or more ability. For example, someone that has arthritis in the knee, and we provide them with a corrective knee orthosis. And then we see a lot of people who have complicated medical issues, like complications from diabetes, people who have had strokes, multiple sclerosis, motor vehicle accidents, and they might need a variety of different types of orthoses. A good example is a lady that I've been looking after for about probably 15 years now. She first came to me when she moved to Canada, and she immigrated here, and when she was a child, she had polio. So her one leg was paralyzed, basically from the hip down, so she had no ability to move her knee or foot and ankle. When she walked, she would hold her knee stable with both hands, so as you might imagine, every time she took a step with her left leg, she'd have to use her hands to hold it stable, and then she would progress with her right leg. She had never worn a brace before and came to see us based on some information her doctor gave her, and we provided her with a knee ankle foot orthosis. So that's a brace that goes from just below the hip, past the knee, and into the foot. And it holds the knee straight when the foot is on the ground, so it provides stability during stance. And then when she swings her leg, it holds her foot in a good position so it doesn't drop and catch the floor. When she had the brace, she was able to go about more daily activities. For example, if she wanted to carry a cup of tea from the table back to the sink, it made a big difference for her. But the thing that she always reminds me of is she had a baby and she wasn't able to carry her baby until she got the brace. And then when she had the brace, she was able to carry her babies. Since then, she's had two more and she's gone back to work and she fully participates in life. She's so excited to be able to go around and look after her family, go to work, and be very independent with the brace on. I think that's a little bit of a summary of what we do.
So how do you reach out to folks who could potentially benefit from your work?
So we really can't go chasing people. We try and educate people about our services, and that would include physicians, because sometimes physicians don't know what we do, insurance companies, And every person that we see, we always spend time with them talking about how to look after their orthosis or prosthesis for others. And they usually end up sharing their stories with other people too. So it's really word of mouth. A lot of physicians, especially when you look at specialist physicians like a physiatrist who specializes in physical medicine and rehabilitation, and orthopedic surgeons, a lot of family doctors, neurologists, for example, they would know what we do, and they often refer directly to us.
So, do you have any advice for folks out there who might be considering looking into orthosis as you mentioned, as an option just to sort of improve their quality of life?
And it's hard. I think when somebody is looking to improve their quality of life, the first thing to do is to talk to their physician to make sure they have a good diagnosis and they know exactly what is causing their issue or impairment. And once we have a good diagnosis, they can reach out to Orthotics Prosthetics Canada at opcanada.ca, and there's a Find a Member page on that, and that helps you find a certified orthotist or certified prosthetist in Canada. In Ontario, we have the Ontario Association of Prosthetics and Orthotics, and again, there's a Find a Member on the website there. Most provinces have an association or a regional group that can help out. Also, the Ministry of Health has a, in Ontario, we have a program called the Assistive Devices Program that would provide funding for orthoses. And if someone reached out to the Ministry of Health, the Assistive Devices Program, they would be able to help them find a certified member to help them with access funding for an orthosis or prosthesis. Many provinces, but not all, do have some sort of funding for this type of assistive device. So reaching out to the Ministry of Health or their physician might be a good first start if they're not able to reach Orthotics Prosthetics Canada.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thanks. Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Windsor Amputee Support Group aims to provide a place where amputees can share their experiences. The WASG arranges guest speakers, social gatherings, and a peer support mentor program, which is available to both amputees and their families. Our office is now at Hotel de Grasse Healthcare on Prince Road. Appointments are required. To contact the Windsor Amputee Support Group, call 226-347-6678 or email windsoramps@gmail.com. For more information, visit windsoramps.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Sarah Morris-Robert told us a little bit about BC Adaptive Snow Sports, and we heard about Linda Lasco's orthotics work. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Lou Santinato and Ralph and Frank Fergiale. They'll be telling us a little bit about Avanti. So tell me a little bit about your work with the disability community.
Well, our name is Avanti Group for the Visually Impaired. We've been going for 40 years. The group was started by Pavarotti, who conducted a couple of concerts, Maple Leaf Gardens and in another private location. And they raised a lot of funds to start a group as a support group for visually impaired people. We've been going ever since. We meet at Columbus Center that has health club facilities. They provide a room for us for meetings. They used to provide a lot of other support roles, which have been gradually removed because cost-cutting, they call it. But we've done many activities. We used to play bocce when we were a group, a larger group, and lately we lost a lot of members. Most of them have died out on us. So we tried to rebuild the group, and we connected with the Balance group, and you're probably familiar with them.
Yes.
And they put me in touch with you, and apparently you do a radio program, and we're interested in exploring possibilities of cooperating, or see if you have any suggestions for us to rebuild our support group here.
We want new members.
We're looking for new members.
So how do you reach out to folks with visual impairments to let them know about your work?
That is a challenge. We were connected with the CNIB, Canadian National Institute for the Blind. We don't know anybody there now. I've approached them, and they didn't get back to me. So that was our main source for new members. We are at a standstill right now. We don't know where else to reach out to find these people and to take advantage of our support roles here.
So, what would
President, we had with Bruno, and he belongs to the CNIB.
Yeah.
So we've been affiliated with the CNIB for years and years and years. But
yeah.
This moves on.
A former president who died on us used to be connected with CNIB, and so did the usual. He died on us a couple of years ago. So.
So, if you could see anything in place for supporting folks with vision impairments, what would you like to do most of all?
We'd like to invite them to participate with us, use the health club facilities here and our meeting room, and we can have speakers, and we can maybe do a number of activities as we used to play bocce around the corner there. Community center here. We stopped doing that. We don't have enough members. Columbus Center is an amazing facility, has a wonderful swimming pool and other. They do a lot of social functions here. So there's a lot for them to benefit.
So. Can you tell me a little bit about the health club? What sorts of equipment you've got in place for someone with a vision impairment?
They have every possible training equipment that you'd imagine. It's a huge facility, as well as a swimming pool and. What we do, the volunteers are here to assist the members. We take them to the physical activities we provide all the support needed.
So in your time supporting folks with vision impairments, is there any story or success moment you'd like to share?
Like what? What do you mean?
Well, Frank, one of our visually impaired members here, him and his brother are both
blind,
totally blind. How do you find, would you like to express your views as a visually impaired person?
Yeah.
What benefits do you derive from this association?
Okay, my name is Frank, and my brother is Rob.
Can you come a little bit closer? Come over here, Frank.
Can you hear me?
Come here, Frank. Okay, sit up this chair. Okay.
So this is only audio, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, hi. So my name is Frank, and my brother Ralph, we're brothers, right? My parents are first cousins, so that's why we have a recognized pigmentosis, right, which is something we were born with. But unfortunately, my brother, he's been a member here because he's been blind since 14 years old. He went completely blind. He had a better vision than me than... And then all of a sudden, within a couple of months, he went totally blind. So here he is. He's going to be turning 16 in a little while. He wants to learn how to drive. Instead, he has to learn how to use a cane. So I was okay. I was able to manage. I worked for the post office all my life. I retired with the post office. And I retired maybe about 5 years ago. And my brother's always been coming every Monday for 40 years here to the Columbus Center.
Yeah. Ralph was one of the originals. 1985, the Avanti group was started with the Pavarotti concerts. Georgina and Pavarotti coordinated to do a huge fundraising to get our group going. And we've had a huge number of members at different times, but we don't know how to reach out to the people out there that could use our services.
See, we want to be a two-way. Like, you know, number one, this is a very, very, very good association, and I've always wanted to come in here because the facilities here are amazing. They have everything that you can ever imagine. They have a regular gym downstairs for a regular membership, and then they have a health club upstairs, which Ralph used to belongs to the health club. And there's a sauna, a whirlpool, there's a towel. Like, you don't have to worry about bringing towels, carrying a wet towel home. They have soap. They have all the amenities you can dream of. And the best part about all this is there's no charge.
Yeah, it's all free. There's ancillary benefits as well. With Frank and Ralph, we've gone to the Blue Jay Games. We've gone to concerts and operas
and dancing. There's dancing and singing.
I've gone with you to medical appointments, right?
Yep.
So we're here to support the visually impaired community.
Like,
and we have one support person. We have members for women too. Like, if you're even a woman and they want to join, we have a support worker helping them.
Like to thank you both for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, it'd be great.
Sure.
Friends, I love stories like what I heard from the Avanti group. Truth of the matter is, sometimes it takes one of the greats. It takes a leader to step up and say, I want to do better by the disability community. And more than that, I want to encourage others to take steps to stand by them. Yes, it's easy for those who have the resources and the contacts readily available, but I maintain it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to take whatever steps we can to support folks with disabilities. Whether you recognize that it readily affects you today or not, in every family, in every line, there has been someone with a disability, and most of us, if not all, will have a disability ourselves one day in this life. Disability strength comes from unity. It comes from the recognition that we all have this common need. It goes with the thread of disability life, which is woven into the great tapestry of our being. Fact is, we are stronger as a united community. We're never going to really change the world unless we talk about what really affects us. Unless we're open about what having a disability really means, separating myth from reality. And the truth is, the more we can reach the community as a whole, the more community members can reach leadership. Leaders definitely like to look good. That's one thing that's common among all of them. And what looks better than saying, I respect the disability community. I respect equality. It's not just something I put on a bumper sticker, something I carry home with me at night, something I wake up believing, something I go to sleep believing, that everyone is entitled to prosper in our community. And really, when a leader or a public figure takes note and takes a step forward, that has the effect, almost automatically, of opening doors for folks with disabilities. Honestly, people love looking at a celebrity hero and saying, this great person has taken this step for the disability community. I want to be like that. I want to follow in their footsteps. And that might not be the only reason to get involved, but it certainly does make it that much more relatable, that much more cool, if you will. But honestly, every one of us has a reason to step up for the disability community. Look at your own family history, look to your future, and you'll realize disability life is a part of it. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.